Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star. The victorious saint presses forward to the complete union with the Lord Jesus. And I will give him, the conqueror, the morning star, Revelation 2, verse 28. The kingdom of God is the doing of God's will in the earth, as it is in heaven. No human being can perform God's will under these terribly adverse circumstances unless Jesus Christ enters into him and overcomes the world and the adversary. Christ will enter into us provided that we guard his word very carefully and observe to do it. When Jesus Christ enters into the saint and performs the will of God in the earth, then that is the day of the Lord, not the great day of the Lord, which will come to all men upon the earth, but a personal day of the Lord in the heart of the conquering saint. When God's determined number of saints enter into their personal day of the Lord, then the Lord Jesus Christ will return with his heroes of faith and establish his throne in Jerusalem. From Jerusalem shall go forth the law of God in the form of the conquering saints. It is Christ in them. This is the true kingdom of God, and the manner in which it will go forth into every area of this earth. The true kingdom of God is God in Christ in the victorious saints, performing God's will in the earth as it is in heaven. The day star, Christ, will arise in his conquerors before he returns from heaven in the glory of the Father. The arising of the day star in the faithful saints is the trumpet which heralds the day of the Lord, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. It is the fulfillment of the Levitical Feast of Tabernacles. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, the Holy Scriptures. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. Until the day star arise in your hearts. We keep the word of Christ. As we do, Jesus Christ himself, the living word, comes to us and takes up his abode within us. Now the word is keeping us from the hour of testing, which shall try all who dwell upon the earth. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Revelation 3, verse 10. We are commanded to guard very patiently the word of Jesus Christ, even during the most trying periods of life. This world is an extremely difficult place in which to serve God, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. As we patiently guard the word of Jesus Christ, performing his will with all of the ability and strength which we are given, and which we can exert, Jesus Christ himself enters into us. He is the power within us who overcomes the world and Satan. The pressures upon people will mount in the last days until they will be as a darkness which prevents all human effort in the things of God. But at the same time, Jesus Christ will enter into those who steadfastly are looking to him for the grace to lead a godly life in this hellish darkness. He becomes our life. He becomes our strength. He becomes our light in the hellish spiritual darkness. He becomes our wisdom and power to serve God. He becomes our health. He becomes our redemption. He himself is our resurrection from the dead. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our victory over sin, over sickness, over weakness, over want, over pressures, over death, over hell, over the grave. The day in which man can serve the Lord is quickly coming to a close. During the days just ahead, the only persons who will be able to stand in godliness will be the saints who are living in the life of Christ, in whom Jesus Christ is living and thinking and walking. The Feast of Tabernacles, the last of the seven great Levitical convocations, will be fulfilled spiritually as Jesus Christ and the Father enter into the faithful saints, making of them a fortress of deliverance throughout the evil day. There will be abundant glory in the earth in the last days, and upon all the glory there will be a covering of the might of God. This is the message of the 18th, the 34th, the 37th, and the 91st Psalms. They are excellent passages to memorize as preparation for the fire which soon is to come upon all who dwell upon the face of the earth. God will enable each saint not only to survive, but also to triumph in the hour of darkness. We will continue to be more than conquerors through Him who loved us and now is living in us in majesty and glory. Darkness will cover the earth in the last days, and gross darkness the peoples of the world. But the light of God will arise within and upon the saints. Christ, the bright and morning star, will come to His chosen. The coming of Christ as the morning star, heralding the morning of the day of the Lord, will not be a faint, fading flicker of light, which finally will be extinguished as a triumphant Satan vanquishes righteousness upon the earth. The coming of Christ as the bright and morning star will be a brilliant, glorious light, which will signal the beginning of the end of spiritual darkness upon the planet Earth. When that light shines in the darkness will not be able to conquer it. It will conquer the darkness. It will expel it from the face of the earth, driving it back into the underground caverns to which it has been assigned by the Lord God of heaven. The church will arise and shine, and the kings of the earth will come to be instructed by the Lord's saints, just as all the ends of the earth came to be fed by Joseph, the Lord's chosen vessel. Christ will enter into the church in fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Woe be unto that nation of people which does not come to the church in its glory and receive the divine blessing. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, verses 16 through 19. Christ will become one with His people, and the nations of the earth will realize that Jesus Christ has come from God and is the judge of all mankind. If any nation on earth chooses not to acknowledge the presence of God in Christ in the saints, it will be punished by the Lord. The peoples of the earth are to come to the waters of life flowing freely from the throne of God through Christ, through the members of the body of Christ. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit of God invites all of the peoples of the earth to come and drink of the living waters flowing out of the saints. The Bride of the Lamb also invites the nations to come and be blessed of God. The authority and power of judgment will release earth's peoples, so that they will be able to choose to serve God and to enter into His presence. Notice how the victory at Armageddon results in the conversion of the will of people, a will which today is tightly bound and controlled by Satan and his demons. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion, the body of Christ, shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the place of the throne of the mighty Son of David. Isaiah 2 verse 3. The giving without price of the waters, the wine, the milk, and the bread is associated with the Son of David. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. When the Ark of the Covenant had been brought successfully to Zion and placed in the tabernacle of David, a type of Christ entering into the members of the body of Christ, then King David gave a blessing to all the people. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread, and a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, every one to his house. 2 Samuel 6, verse 19. The Son of David gave to the multitude without price all the barley bread and fish that they could eat. But then he began to speak to them of the true bread from heaven, also without price. But the Jews, while they were glad for the barley bread and fish, rejected the offer of the freely given bread from heaven. They received the barley loaves and fishes because they were hungry, but they believed that a person can live by food alone and has no need of union with God. They professed to desire the presence of God, but in truth they did not want the true presence of God. So it is today. People will receive the blessings of God, that which will satisfy their natural needs and desires. But people, even Christian people, believe that man can live by bread alone. They profess to want Christ, to want to go to heaven, but they want to go to heaven in order to escape trouble, in order to get away from the trainings and dealings of the Holy Spirit of God. But every individual who is thirsty for the presence of God, for the Spirit of God, for that water and that bread which relieve all thirst and all hunger, can come to the presence of God in Christ in the saints, and drink and eat to his fill. There is no charge for the living water or for the bread from heaven. The presence and life of God Almighty is free to all who will receive. Why then will people, even church people, not come to God and be filled? The reason is that people are unwilling to let loose of their bondages, the bondages of sin and of self-will. They fear that God will require that they give up something which provides security or pleasure. They do not trust God's word or his character or his intentions toward them. They do not have faith in God. People are afraid that it will cost them something if they serve Jesus Christ, if they do God's will. But the actual truth is that the bread and waters of God are without cost. There is no charge whatever for them. They are given freely to all who ask. But sin and rebellion against God are very, very costly. When we buy sin and self-will, we sell peace, joy, love, health, fellowship with God, eternal life, and a glorious future with the Lord. In order to pass this present life in sin and in following our own pursuits, we are required to forfeit our inheritance as a child of God. The water and bread from heaven are free, But in order to buy the right to sin and to follow our own will, we have to sell everything of value. In order to live with an adulteress, a man has to sell God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, his wife, his children, his inheritance in the kingdom of God, and everything else of value. Is any prostitute worth this much? He wakes up in the slops among the pigs without his God or his self-respect. What did he buy at such a staggering cost? There is only gain in receiving Jesus Christ and believing him. There is only loss in receiving Satan and believing him. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Revelation 22, verse 18. No other book of the Scripture, to our knowledge, is guarded by such a fearful curse. The book of Revelation is our protection against the deceiver Antichrist, Satan, and the false prophet, the spirit of religious delusion. We believe that the entire Scripture is the inspired Word of God, but the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation are guarded in an extraordinary manner. It is our point of view that the secret rapture of the church is an addition to the book of Revelation. The opening statement of the book of Revelation after the greeting is, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Revelation 1, verse 7. This is the very first declaration of the book to which no addition is to be made. But what doctrine is current among God's people? One prevalent doctrine is that he will come with clouds, but only a special group will see him. The book of Revelation states, Every eye shall see him. A current doctrine holds, Every eye shall not see him. We believe that the special secret coming, known as the rapture, is an addition to the book of Revelation. One group holds that the coming of the Lord takes place in Revelation 1, verse 10. But this does not correspond to the description of the Lord's coming found in Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, and 1 Corinthians 15, not to mention Revelation 1, verse 7. A much larger group teaches that the coming of the Lord takes place in Revelation 4, verse 1. But this verse does not correspond to Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians 4, or 1 Corinthians 15. And it does not fit Revelation 1, verse 7, the announcement of the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Both of the above are secret comings, made known only to a basically Gentile church, which will be raptured into heaven while the Jewish saints proceed with the work of the kingdom of God. But the coming of the Lord, announced in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is described in the 19th and 20th chapters of the book of Revelation. The return of Jesus Christ to the earth is the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, the coming of the kingdom of God, preached by both John the Baptist and Jesus Christ himself, as well as by the apostles of the Lamb. The addition of a secret coming, at which time every eye will not see him, has been added as a post-biblical revelation. It is our point of view that this addition has thrown the whole gospel message off course. It has thrown it off course by leaving people with the impression that godly living is not necessary, because upon the basis of a profession of belief, we will be removed from the final struggle and travail of the kingdom, while the burden falls upon the Jews by race, itself a notion in fundamental conflict with the teachings of the Apostle Paul. The extent of modification caused by the acceptance of the secret coming is known only to the Holy Spirit. It seems to us that it has radically altered the concept of Christianity as a cross-carrying pilgrimage which each believer is to endure until the Lord comes and saves us by destroying Antichrist. The book of Revelation, being guarded by a special curse, states that He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. We believe precisely that. We do not believe that an advanced secret coming is implied in chapter 1, verse 10. We do not believe that an advanced secret coming is implied in chapter 4, verse 1. We are not interested in inferences or implications when discussing the great and foremost hope of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are looking for a bold, clear entering of Jesus Christ into the earth, at which time every eye shall behold him. Let us beware of adding to the book of Revelation. There is a specific reason for the inclusion of each word. This vision is not to be taken lightly. It is to stand as written, precisely as written. When Jesus Christ returns to earth, every eye shall see him. The resurrection and ascension of the saints will be no secret. The Lord will come upon the world as a thief, but as a rewarder to everyone who is waiting hopefully for his appearing to save us from this present evil age. His appearing will be as visible as lightning. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22, verse 19. In our time, the fear of God is being removed from the vision of the end time. We are taught that we should reverence God, but not fear him. But there is a vast difference between fear and reverence. What does the book of Revelation teach? And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Revelation 19, verse 5. We are being taught that we can enter into the presence of the Almighty God upon the basis of professing belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and that godly conduct is not necessary for God's acceptance. But what does the book of Revelation teach? And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Revelation 2, verse 23. The above warning was directed toward the members of the Christian church in Thyatira. We are being taught that Christians are to be prosperous in this world, and that they are not to suffer. What does the book of Revelation teach? Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation 2, verse 10. And in the preceding verse, I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2, verse 9. The members of the Christian church in Smyrna experienced poverty and prolonged tribulation unto death, and Jesus Christ was interested in their works. Truly, the Christian doctrines of today appear to be blasphemous. The book of Revelation neither is to be subtracted from nor added to, but we have subtracted the wholesome fear of God, godly living, and the cheerful willingness of the saint of God to suffer tribulation and poverty in this present wicked age. We have added a coming of the Lord which will not be seen by every eye, in clear contradiction of the opening proclamation of the book of Revelation. Therefore, we have subtracted from and added to the inviolable vision. Therefore, we are in danger of having our name blotted out of the Lamb's book of life, and of losing our part in the New Jerusalem and in the other inheritances of the victorious saint. If we persist in adding events to the day of the Lord, will not the Lord add to us the frightful plagues which are described in the book of Revelation, or are we willing even to remove the curse which governs the prophecy, so that God is seen as a great benevolent spirit who will perform neither good nor evil? He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22, verse 20. God gave this prophecy to Jesus Christ. He gave it to him so that Jesus Christ might show to his servants the soon coming events of world history. Jesus Christ sent the prophecy by the hand of his angel to the Apostle John, himself the servant of the Lord Jesus. John bore record of God's word, of the testimony of Christ, and of everything which he saw. Jesus Christ testified that he would come quickly. Nearly 2,000 years have transpired. From our point of view, 2,000 years is a long period of time. But from the eternal point of view, 2,000 years is as 2 days. It has taken this long for the members of the body of Christ to be born into the kingdom of God. According to Paul, the ascension gifts given by Christ are to labor until every saint comes to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Christ, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This standard has not been attained as yet by the great majority of the members of the body of Christ. It is not even close to attainment. But the Spirit is crying that Jesus Christ is at the very door. No doubt we now are entering into the most significant era of the history of the world. It is certain that all of the seed which has been sown in the earth will spring forth quickly to maturity. Both righteousness and wickedness will ripen, so that angels and men may behold the results of serving God and of serving Satan. Mankind has not as yet seen upon the earth the degree of authority and power which will be exercised by the two witnesses of the 11th chapter of Revelation. Mankind has not as yet seen upon the earth the degree of tribulation and wrath described in the book of Revelation. God has not forgotten one word given to any of his holy prophets, including his servant John. But God is patient, not willing that any soul should perish, but that all should come to repentance. However, the book of Revelation shows that many will not repent, even when smitten with painful plagues. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaimed in the four Gospels and also in the book of Revelation, have proven to be an accurate account of the history of the world. In spite of the vigorous efforts of philosophers and statesmen, dictators and generals, the world has been plagued by wars, famines, pestilences, and the other troubles predicted by Christ. And the chronicle is not finished as yet. An appraisal of the development of the churches and of secular government and society indicates that the end result will be precisely what Jesus Christ has testified. But we know that the kingdom of God will come to the earth very soon. Christ will rule the nations as King of kings and Lord of lords. The body of Christ will be brought to maturity and unity. The nation of kings and priests will be born in a day. The members of the body of Christ say, Amen. We cry, Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We love your appearing. We are waiting for you. It will be our greatest joy to rise and meet you in the air and to return with you in the fullness of glory and power. We are looking forward to standing with you upon the Mount of Olives. We are anticipating the shout of your conquering army as you direct us northward against Antichrist and his army. We will rejoice as your mighty men grasp Antichrist and the false prophet and hurl them into the lake of fire. We will join the earth-shaking praise as you ascend the steps to take your place upon the throne of David. You are our king already, but in that day your majesty will be visible to all of your people and to the nations of the earth. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Revelation 22, verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the very virtue of God in Christ given to each believer under the new covenant. The new covenant between God and man is established when we receive of the blood of God's Passover Lamb. By faith we enter into God's plan of redemption. Under the new covenant, every need of the saint is met. We are given of the divine virtue, including the wisdom, strength, and resources necessary to overcome each enemy, to fulfill every obligation, to survive throughout every trial. The world, Satan, the sins of our flesh, and our own self-love cannot conquer us if we allow the divine grace which is in Christ to abide in our thinking, our motives, our speech, and our deeds. The book of Revelation is a description of the increase of sin and rebellion in the earth, and of God's response to that wickedness. It is a description also of the final triumph of Christ over Antichrist, of the saint over the sinner. No darker night is described in the Scriptures than the night described in Revelation. Also, no brighter glory can be found in the Scriptures. Every human being desires to be on the winning side. Every person wants to obtain a joyful future. Every individual can set his or her course toward the glories of the holy city. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is abundant in love and goodness. The waters of eternal life are free to whosoever will receive. The only person who can prevent us from being on the winning side, from obtaining a joyful future, is we ourselves. The issue is faith in God. If we have faith in God, calling upon His name through Jesus Christ, we will conquer. We will obtain eternal joy. But if we do not have faith in God, we will not call upon Him. We will trust the people and things which we see with our physical eyes. Thus, we will lose everything of true value, because the true riches originate in the spiritual realm and are invisible in the present hour. In that case, our future will be bleak indeed. No longer is it possible to remain in indecision. The climax of the age is upon us. The wicked and filthy will take their stand. The righteous and holy will take their stand. Where do you stand?